I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do a little Jets football now, shall we, David? Let's welcome aboard Connor Hughes. Athletic SNY covers the Jets and does a very, very good job. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you? Man, you played that Derrick Henry clip running in, man. I can't believe how good that guy's gotten. Like, he's insane. He's absurd.
He really is. I mean, he's doing things at the running back position. David and I were mentioning before that, you know, you've never seen before. And the size, I mean, for a man of his size to take the hits that he has and just wearing down a defense, you know, he is a modern, better, bigger, faster, stronger version of John Riggins, who used to do that with Washington years ago.
Yeah, it's insane. I've watched him. I've caught the highlights, and to see the numbers he puts up week by week, it's unbelievable. I haven't seen anyone like it before. It's unreal.
Now, Connor, before we get into the Jets here, you got to tell me and tell David, because he'll love this, the story. Because David, you have to know this. There is a picture of Connor and a former Giant on his mom's fridge that he took years ago. Tell the story, Connor.
Oh, yeah. So when I was a kid, I played football, like, as a little kid growing up. And so my parents would take me to the closest training camp, which was the one that you guys were in Albany. So we would take the trip up, mom, dad, me, and my two sisters. We'd pack in. And obviously in Albany, they used to have that old the walking path to, like, get
the path.
Field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Trail of Tears, like, is what we used to call it out to practice.
Yeah. Yeah, so we would shout out, like you're a kid, you're like, you're 7, 8 years old or whatever, so you're shouting and you're calling for players' autographs and stuff like that. And I remember you came over and you took a picture with me and my two sisters, and my mom has the picture still on her fridge back home in, like, Tabernacle, New Jersey. It cracks me up every time I go home.
That is great!
That's awesome!
Yeah, dude, it cracks me up every time I do these hits, because I called her the other day and I was like, I was like, you won't believe this. I was like, you took that picture of David and I? She goes, yeah. I was like, I have a radio hit with him this week. I was like, that's a change, man.
Well, tell her I think that's awesome, and I send my best, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Connor, where are we with this coaching search for the Jets?
So they're still tracking down the interviews, and they're still trying to get the guys in there. They're bringing them in. Like Christopher Johnson said, Joe Douglas said, I mean, time is of the essence, but they're also taking their time. And this is going to be one where they cast a wide net. This is going to be one where they bring in a lot of different guys that have a lot of different viewpoints with a lot of different backgrounds. And they try to find the guy that is the right man for the job. And I think the one thing they're doing right this time that is not necessarily what they've done in the past is that they haven't pigeonholed themselves into a specific stereotype of, like, we want this. You know, when they went through the Rex Ryan hire, they wanted that splashy, sexy name to kind of steal some attention away from you know, the guys across town and the Giants who were having some pretty good success. So they brought in, you know, Rex Ryan, who immediately was, you know, we're not the little brother and we're not here to kiss rings. And it was the attention grabbing, right? And then when they went through the Todd Bowles hire, they obviously had their attention set on Doug Marrone until that fell apart. So they fell back into Todd. And then when they hired Adam Gase, it was, no, we need an offensive-minded guy to help Sam Darnold become a franchise quarterback. And it was offensive, offensive, offensive. That's not what they're doing this time. They want to find a head coach. They want to find their version of Joe Judge, somebody who is a CEO type, who oversees everything, who is the manager of the operation, and not just, you know, the guy who's going to run the offense and delegate all the other responsibilities out there. So they're bringing in different guys. That's why you've seen Marvin Lewis come on in here. You've heard them linked to Jim Caldwell. You've also seen them tied to, you know, Arthur Smith and Dable, who had a hell of a showing there, and Staley as well, the Rams defensive coordinator, had a really good showing as well. So it's a wide-ranging net. They're into this search early on, and there's still probably some legwork to do.
You know, Connor, when I talk to my buddies who are Jets fans, it's like 50-50 based upon what they feel about Joe Douglas. Obviously, looking at his first draft, we all think that Mekhi Becton, as long as he stays healthy, can be an all-pro at that bookend left tackle position. We saw enough out of Denzel Mims. I think we were hoping to see a little more out of LaMichael Perine, but he struggled picking up blitz protections and pass blocking earlier this season. So when you look at Joe Douglas after his first year and now going into his second year, you know, what gives you confidence in him as the general manager, and what may give you some doubt with him as the general manager as a new head coach is coming in?
Yeah, I think that the doubt just comes from him not necessarily – he's now handling responsibilities that he hasn't necessarily handled before. You know, so when you're – his whole tenure with the Baltimore Ravens training under Ozzie Newsome, and then obviously when he was the brief stint in Chicago, it was college. It was collegiate evaluating. And then when he went to the Philadelphia Eagles and had some success there, it was, again, a lot of collegiate evaluating. And I remember talking to Howie Roseman about Joe right after he gotten hired, and Howie said, you know, yeah, I would try to open his eyes to all of the other avenues while he was here. So Howie was preparing him to be a GM. You know, when he would make trades or when he would move draft picks for trades, he would go to Joe Douglas and say, hey, I know you love draft picks, but this is why this benefits our team now and in the long run. Or if he was going to sign this pro play, you know, player in free agency, he would fill Joe in, and this is how we do this, this is how we do that. So it's, you know, he was exposed to it a little bit, but it's not like he's had a ton of experience in the pro personnel side of it in addition to the collegiate scouting. And then also when you're going through a head coaching process, that's actually something that Joe's never really been involved in, because in Baltimore, I mean, they really only had Harbaugh. Like, that was kind of like the one guy that they hired. There was already a coach in place when he went to Chicago, and Doug Peterson was already there in Philadelphia. So when we talked to him, that was one of the topics of conversation is, well, you've never found a head coach before, so how are you handling this? And he said, oh, I'm kind of approaching it like the draft. I'm scouting for a head coach kind of thing. And that worked, and it might work really well, and the Jets certainly trust his beliefs and stuff, but he's also never done it before, so this is all very new. It's the first time he's going through head coaching interviews and all that stuff. So that probably adds some hesitation just because he hasn't done it before, but the confidence in this guy comes from you cannot find anyone to say something negative about him. Like, I mean, when the Jets first hired this guy, I had somebody who I trust a lot within this field in the NFL, like one of my better sources. I called him and I was like, man, the Jets are hiring Joe Douglas. It's official. And his response to me was, I can't bleep and believe that the Jets just got Joe. Like, that was the resounding. Like, this guy is the so well-respected, so highly regarded, so well thought of around NFL circles. How did the Jets get him? Like, that's how, like, that's, and Christopher Johnson believes in this guy wholeheartedly. He's put all of his trust in him. And he said, this is Joe's ship. Go get us to better waters. And it's one of those things where maybe it is a little blind faith, but it's blind faith because these people that I trust around the NFL, they sign off on this guy, and they're putting, you know, signatures bigger than John Hancock's around this guy's name to say he's going to be able to do it.
You know, what do you think Joe's decision is going to be, Connor, about Sam Darnold?
That is the million-dollar question, and it is one that I go back and forth on every day. Like, I can't, and this is one of the reasons why, I mean, Joe plays things close to the vest. I mean, he's a straight shooter. He's not going to kind of make you dance around. I mean, but he also keeps the information tight. He has a tight circle, and he's not going to just, it's not like these leaks are going to be coming out everywhere. I think that tomorrow night's game, Alabama-Ohio State, will be a very telling game because I get a sense that the Jets aren't as high on Zach Wilson at number two as it's just early and there's still a lot of process. They got to interview the guys, combine all this fun stuff. But I get a sense they're probably not as high on him. But if Fields comes out against Ohio or comes out against Alabama and plays in some capacity like he did against Clemson, and I'm not saying he's got to do what he did against Clemson because I don't know if we'll ever see a quarterbacking performance like that one again. But if he throws 300, 350, another three touchdowns, and Ohio State wins or they just narrowly lose, I don't know how you pass on that guy. Look, Sam, the Jets do believe in Sam. Like they're not yanking anyone's chains when they say, you know, we think he can be a good quarterback. We think he can have success in this league. I mean, they do genuinely believe that he will get substantially better if you give him a better coach, if you give him a better offensive line, if you give him better weapons. But the problem is that you're going into year four with Sam Darnold, you're going to have to make a decision on whether to pay him or not in another year, saying, okay, well, we know he's going to be better, but is better Drew Brees or is better Ryan Fitzpatrick? You know, is better Kirk Cousins or is better Aaron Rodgers? Like, you don't know what his ceiling is, and it's tough to kind of commit so much to this knowing that the Jets are picking second overall. This is their highest draft pick since 1996. So it's not like you just, you know, okay, well, we'll just run it back. We'll run it with Sam. We'll give it a shot. If not, we'll just be in the same position next year. We'll pick a quarterback then. Like, it's very rare that you are organically this high where you don't have to trade up to get the quarterback. So I if it's my choice and if it's my decision, I'm drafting the quarterback. I don't know if it's Zach Wilson or Justin Fields yet. If Fields plays well against Alabama, it's going to be Fields. I'm picking the quarterback, but I just don't have a firm feeling yet on what Joe's going to do. And I think one of the reasons for that is that he's going to wait until the new head coach is here, and that coach is going to have a really big say in it.
And to go along with that, obviously Joe Douglas has a lot of work, because I think anybody, when it talks about the Jets and their roster, it's one of the least talented rosters when you look across the NFL. You know, obviously you talked about the quarterback position. Obviously a pass threat tight end, something that Chris Herndon never turned into, would be key for this team. Obviously continuing to upgrade this offensive line. What are the other big areas of need that you think the Jets need to address through this draft or through free agency to get them going in the right direction?
Yeah, I think the offense I think is closer than the defense, and I know that's probably crazy to hear some people say that, but you know, Gase struggled quite a bit with the players that he had. But when you look at what they can do, I mean, if they can go out there and get Allen Robinson or Kenny Galladay, one of those two guys from either the Lions or the Bears, if you throw him to the mix, suddenly you got a pretty good receiving core. I mean, you've got Denzel Mims, who they're very high on. Jamison Crowder is one of the league's better slots. And then you have a legitimate number one in Robinson outside. I mean, that's a good 1-2-3 receiving core. You can then sign a veteran tight end or draft another tight end to throw into the mix with Herndon as insurance in case he can't go. And then the running back position, I mean, Marlon Mack's out there. He's coming off a knee issue, I believe it was, or an Achilles. I can't remember the specifics of it, so he's not going to be all that expensive. You add him to a running back rotation that you like P. Ryan, you like Ty Johnson. So now you got a three-headed rushing attack, a good three receivers, a tight end that you still believe in. And then you just got to go to the offensive line and fix that up. And I think, you know, the Jets have a second-round pick. Obviously, I think they could use that on a guard. I think they could use an interior offensive lineman or even another tackle with that second first-round pick they have from the Seattle Seahawks. And then suddenly that offensive line has Becton, McGovern. Maybe you can come away with Joe Tooney, who, from what I've told, that the Patriots are probably not going to bring him back, so he'll be a free agent. He's somebody that is kind of, you know, tailor-made of Joe Douglas prospects, you know, in terms of versatile, reliable, and just a guy who's coming from a winning culture. So you add those guys, and suddenly that offense looks fine. You know, that's Becton on one side. You can draft somebody where you have Fan at right tackle. You have McGovern, Tooney, and then somebody else you draft. The three wide receivers I just talked about, a decent receiving core, and then, you know, obviously the million-dollar question is what you're going to do with quarterback. But I think that looks a lot different week one of 2021 than what it looked like week one of 2020. And then, obviously, you go to the defensive side of the ball, there's a lot more work to do there. I mean, even if you bring back Marcus May, even if you bring, obviously, Quinnen Williams is going to be back. Those two players the Jets like a lot. But you still need now a legitimate edge rusher, like something, a speed rusher. A speed rusher the Jets haven't had since John Abraham. You need probably two starting corners. You need another safety to start next to Marcus if you don't believe in Ashton Davis. You know, inside, you'd think C.J. Mosley is going to be a big piece. I mean, the Jets certainly paid him to be that player, but he hasn't played football basically in 2 years, aside from a three quarters against the Bills in week one of last year. He hasn't played football. So there's a lot more work that needs to be done on defense, and I don't think it's as easy to say, like, oh, well, if they just do this, this, and this, they're fine. Like, on offense, you can see the path to success. Defensively, it's gonna take some work.
Connor, back to, and we're talking to Connor Hughes, SNY, The Athletic covers the Jets. Back to the coaching search here. It's going to be Joe Douglas's show. You mentioned what he's looking for, an overseer of all accountability, set a tone, what Jet football is going to be. You think, is it likely or less likely, more or less likely, that they dip into the college ranks for a coach?
Well, if Matt Campbell, that's the report that came out from one of my colleagues over at The Athletic, and Matt Campbell is not expected to interview with the Jets. I think if they were able to get Matt Campbell in the room, and it wasn't, I think if they got him in there, it was very much going to be a discussion of like, okay, how do we not let, we don't want you to leave. Very, very much like when they got Joe Douglas in the room to interview him for be the GM, and Christopher Johnson took a, you're not leaving. So we're going to stay here until we can figure out how to make you not leave. And if it's 6 years, fine. If it's this much of my work, you're going to be my team's GM. I think that's what it would have been with Matt Campbell. Like, it would have been the guy from Iowa State. It would have been a, we don't want you to go. Like, we're going to, you're the culture builder. We want you. some of the other college coaches, I mean, Harbaugh's obviously not going to happen. The guy from Northwestern, maybe that's something to dip into. But I'm more.
What about Mullen in Florida?
Yeah, that's the one that's been rumored around there. But I haven't heard anything definitive about that just yet. In terms of I'd heard his name going in to the coaching, he was somebody that was going to be coming in. That's a possibility. But honestly, if it's not Campbell, and that's definitely not happening, I really like Dable, man. I like him a lot from Buffalo. I just think what he's done, he's got the experience, he's well traveled, he has experience coaching not only in the NFL but all throughout the AFC East. He has the Bill Belichick under, he's trained underneath Bill Belichick, but then went off and did his own thing. McDermott's a hell of a coach. What he's done with Josh Allen is absolutely remarkable, and I think he would be an A-plus hire. The issue, obviously, is that when you're talking about a guy like him, the Jets aren't going to be the only person talking to him, and the Jets aren't going to be the only person interested in him. And that's one where he'd probably be atop my list over any college candidate aside from Campbell.
And last question, go ahead. I was just going to say, with today's games going on, how do you think today's going to turn out in these three football games?
You know what? I was actually just talking to my fiance about that. We were going over the picks, we liked any of them. And I think the one that I'm most interested in is I want to see Cleveland in a playoff game. And I know it sucks so much that Stefanski's out, and I really feel for that fan base, but I like that Brown team, and I don't really like Ben at his current age, and I think the Steelers are a little fake, and I think that there might be some problems there that I'd love to see the Browns. I like them a lot. I like Tennessee too. I like them over Baltimore. I just think, I like I said, we were just talking about Derrick Henry a little bit ago. I mean, I love Derrick Henry. I like Ryan Tannehill. I like Arthur Smith. I like Vrabel. I like that whole coaching staff. I like them a lot. And then the one that I don't really get a feel for, honestly, is Chicago and New Orleans, where that's one where Drew Brees hasn't really looked like Drew Brees this year before or after the injury. And Saints kind of have a tendency to be a little weird in the playoffs. And Mitch Trubisky is one of those quarterbacks that I don't think he's good, but he also has random games where he's almost like Fitzpatrick, where he'll throw six touchdowns. You're like, oh yeah, I did just do that. You know what I mean? So that's one game where I know that I watched the line recently. It looks like the line's now almost up to 11. So I that's one I would stay away from, but I'm very interested to see how it plays out because Mitch Trubisky is one of those guys where you don't necessarily know what you're going to get, and if you get good Mitch, that game could be awful interesting.
Hey, Connor, I think every guy right now in the tri-state area and that's listening on radio.com is jealous of Connor Hughes. When you are breaking down football games with your fiance on a Sunday morning before wild card games, I mean, that's as good as it gets, Connor Hughes. You're a lucky man.
You outkicked your coverage, Connor.
That's it.
I've heard that one before.
Hey, Connor, enjoy all the action today. We appreciate you hopping on with Dave and myself.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. It's always fun.
You got
all the best, Connor. Great stuff.
I mean, but that is, David, I don't think I've ever broken down a game with my wife.
No, I think the only time that Tina and I do that is when we usually do the March Madness brackets. And it's not based upon uniforms. It's based upon outfits and colors.
There you go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!